Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
What's going on, everybody? It is Thursday night. What is this? March 17th. Oh, shit. St. Paddy's Day. How's everybody doing tonight? It's Thursday night. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. Little programming change, I think, for the immediate future when it comes to Thursdays. I have gotten quite a few emails from channel members who find it a little difficult to tune in live on a Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Some have to work the next day after having late nights with Raw and Dynamite. You know, some people were asking for an earlier slot. So earlier this afternoon, I posted in the community section for our channel members, you know, do you want me to keep doing it at 10 or maybe lower it to 9? I didn't want to lower it to 8 out of respect for Mish because he does his Thursday show at 7:30 p.m. So since he usually is done around 90 minutes, I thought 9 o'clock was a fair time. And it was split down the middle. And, you know, you try to please a few and then another few complain. So the fact of the matter is about 80 to 90% of our channel members are not able to tune in live. They want to send in questions in advance. And I don't mind doing that. The problem is that since we do questions live on the show, we start getting into long spurts of questions sent in advance. You know, I don't know how organized the show is going to be. So I think what we're going to do next week is we're going to start at 9 o'clock Eastern instead of 10 and see how that goes. And we'll blend in some advanced questions for anybody who can't make the show live and for everybody that obviously is live. If too many people still are having a tough time tuning in live at 9, then maybe the following week I'll pre-record it. Won't do it live. I'll stream it live. And I'll hang out in the chat room with everybody, but we obviously need to change Thursday a little bit. And look, to be honest with you, for a few of you out there that were very honest with me and said, look, man, you know, I tune into a different show on Thursday. You know, that's cool. But, you know, there's the old saying, you snooze, you lose. If you choose to tune into another show instead of here, you lose your opportunity. You know, I mean, we do shows almost every day of the week. And one thing I've noticed is that people out there, even friends, they'll do a show whenever they feel like it. No one ever comes to me and says, hey, DT, you know, is it all right if I do a show at this time? I know you usually do your show. And 9 times out of 10, I'd be like, yeah. I mean, honestly, I can't even see myself ever saying no to someone. As if even if I say no, it's going to change their schedule. But why am I bending over backwards for everybody else? You know, when nobody does that shit for me, you know, I mean, we see what's been going on the last couple of years. It's about time. We're like, hey, Bafangul, you know, we do what we do. And if they don't like it, oh, too fucking well. Right. So how's everybody doing tonight? I'm here for all of you. You let me know what is on your mind. Really, for me, I only have two things pre-planned that I wanted to discuss tonight. First was the AEW rating for Dynamite. And I am so glad I didn't do a ratings prediction yesterday because for the third week in a row, it pretty much went completely against what I expected. So for my friends live that is not aware, last night's rating was boom, 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 993,000. This is getting really interesting because you and I have talked about it now for a couple of weeks. We have found a pattern. Has AEW plateaued? And I got to be honest with you. I think that they have. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. You know, what I'm planning next week is to show everyone out there the ratings since CM Punk has signed with AEW. And I think CM Punk's signing is really the starting point where we should take a look at the ratings. Because have fans become numb to surprises? Have fans become numb to some of these signings? I mean, a lot of people were pretty shocked today that AEW didn't even break a million, especially the fact that so many have social media, and they knew the Hardys were going to be wrestling last night. You had a whole week hyping Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in a cage as the main event, where almost everybody and their mother knew that Thunder Rosa was coming out with that title. And then you add in everybody else. You know, we had no idea CM Punk was not going to appear. You had John Moxley and Brian Danielson with William Regal in their corner. They were on television. You know, you look at, you know, you have Red Dragon and Adam Cole on television. Young Bucks, although a promo backstage, I mean, you realize on paper the number of big major players that appeared on that show and they can't break a million. So has AEW plateaued? I believe so. Because MJF versus CM Punk has probably been their number one feud in the history of their promotion. And if you even notice the ratings during a good portion of that feud, it's been right around 1 million as well. So when you look at the CM Punk signing at that time, and you look at Brian Danielson, and you look at Adam Cole, and you look at Keith Lee, and you look at Jeff Hardy, and I could go on and on and on, and you look at the elevation of Sammy Guevara, and you look at the elevation of Darby Allin, you know, which a lot of people feel has taken it to the next level. And even with all of that, they're right around a million viewers. So you ask yourself, what would the rating look like if none of these guys signed? You know, and that's something people really need to think about. You know, as far as Jeff Hardy, people were asking me today, they're like, DT, why do you think the ratings truly didn't break a million? People blame it on basketball. There's sports all year round. I mean, there's basketball on the air when Raw does twice that number, almost 2.5 times that number. Basketball was around a year ago, was around 6 months ago. You got football, baseball, playoffs going on. You know, I don't buy that excuse. They blamed it on the war 2 weeks ago. We already shot that down. I think AEW is truly plateaued in their rating. I think a million is pretty much where they're going to stay for the foreseeable future. I mean, what insane major storyline are they going to pull out of their ass that's going to get 200,000-400,000 more people to tune in? Social media definitely makes it unfun to be an AEW fan many times, because what people need to understand is there's a lot of wrestling fans that like to socialize. They don't talk about AEW in school all that much. People don't hang out in the park as much as they used to. They don't go to a pizzeria. They don't go to a mall. They're not just walking around the neighborhood, hanging out, just talking about wrestling all day long like we did when we were much younger. So where do they socialize? They socialize online. And God forbid, you know, you go against something, there is a mob waiting to eat you up and spit you out. You know, yesterday I talked about it. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker was not a bad cage match, but people are calling it match of the year already. And, you know, okay, if that's their opinion, I respect it. I think it's not even close. That match was not very good. Yes, it was okay. It was good, but it wasn't anything, you know, memorable other than the outcome. And people even pointed it out to me that when Britt Baker went through the chairs yesterday, she popped right back up. So, okay, you feel it's match of the year, fine. But for fans that were outspoken today and saying, look, you know, the match was good, the result is what we wanted, but it was not that very good. You got a mob. You got a mob ripping you. If you can't be honest and socialize and have fun online, talking the good and the bad about stuff in wrestling, it definitely takes away your interest. And believe me when I tell you, it is causing damage. It's definitely causing damage. VJ, I'll answer your question in a sec. Now, I'll say the good part of this. They have 800,000 to 900,000 fans that are going to watch no matter what. Just like WWE with Raw, they have 1.5 million of fans that are going to watch no matter what. For SmackDown, it is closer to 1.8 million loyal fans that are going to tune in no matter what. Yes, Raw's rating has been a little higher. Yes, AEW's rating has been a little higher. Yes, SmackDown's rating has been up a little bit, is a little bit higher. But that's because you'll always have some casual fans that will tune in to wrestling. Hey, what's going on tonight? Hey, you know, let me tune into SmackDown, see what's going on. Hey, let me watch Raw. So you have your core group, and with AEW, 800,000 to 900,000 as a core, you have to do a lot to get them to not tune in. They go through the social media. They handle it. The thing is, if you remember when Rampage was created, and if you remember when CM Punk was signed, Tony Khan, in a very, very big, important press release that a lot of people try to make you forget, he says, we're trying to bring back that fan that has fallen out of love with wrestling, that truly want an alternative. And guess what? They have not come. They have not come. That's why the saving grace, even today, I have the article in front of me. I was looking at a bunch of sites talking about the AEW rating today, and they did exactly what we talked about yesterday once again. AEW, compared to a year ago, is up 29%. But when you look a year ago and you realize who that was on TV yesterday were not even in AEW a year ago, you understand how ridiculous that comparison is. Compare it over the last 8-9 months. And when I show you the grid next week, because I'm making one up myself and I'm taking my time because obviously there's only so many hours in a week and it's not an absolute urgency. But when you see it truly in front of your eyes, and I'll read it for everybody with audio, and you see what the ratings have done since CM Punk is signed, you will see, and I'm sorry for those that are only listening, but right now I have my finger pretty much in the middle of the camera, right around the center. And this pretty much was AEW before the signing. And then it went up like this. It increased, it went up, then it slightly went down, and then it went almost back to what it was prior to a signing. A little bit higher. And you ask yourself, with all of those signings and the amount of money, extra money that is put in for payroll, are you getting a return? Now, pay-per-view buys is a very important part of that. We don't know the buy rate yet. So just something to think about. Now, VJ had asked, do I think Impact will outlast AEW? And my honest answer is no. Now, the interesting thing is Impact, just like other promotions out there, do not have to do a whole lot to survive. The problem with Impact is all their commitments that they have made with even international outlets and others throughout the years. Now, I don't know how many of those deals that are no longer in effect, but the thing with Impact, and I've talked about this before, is what is their identity? Really, what is their identity? Are they trying to be Ring of Honor? Are they trying to, what are they actually, you know, you look at Jay White and you look at the Bullet Club. I know the Bullet Club in 2022 is not the Bullet Club of years past, but you still look at some of the wrestlers that this very, 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 very tiny audience online that is so loud about, and they're appearing on Impact every week. And listen, when I was a hardcore ECW fan, there were only a few wrestlers that I enjoyed so much that I was going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night if I was sleeping, and I was going to watch ECW when it aired on TV live. Yes, it was pre-recorded, but it aired at 2 a.m. on Saturday nights. I was going to make sure I was going to be awake for it. Now, depending on the year, I wanted to see Terry Funk, Shane Douglas, Raven, New Jack, whoever it was. I would wake up and watch it for specific people. You look at some of the people in Impact Wrestling and you can't get 100,000 fans on a primetime Thursday night to say, hey, man, you know, I'm not an Impact fan, but you know what? I got to see Jay White. Oh, you know, I want to see this person. I want to see that person. Mickie James, Deonna Purrazzo, whatever it is. And they can't even get 200,000 viewers. Think about that for a minute. That is one-fifth of what Dynamite does. That is one-third of what Rampage was. And they can't even get that. And you look at Impact Wrestling, they put on a good show. They have a wide array of talent. And you look, you know, Josh Alexander comes back and it's the buzz online and the ratings go down. So Impact in some capacity could linger for a long time. But when does the company say, look, man, we're just not making the money? You know, I've always, you know, because of my shows and it's intimate, I've always said that, you know, for 20 years, myself and for 15 years with Mish, we paid out of our pockets to run our shows. And we dropped tens of thousands of dollars over those years just so everybody could enjoy our stuff. We're not bitter. We're not angry. We did it because we loved what we did. And we loved that all of you enjoyed the shows also. When you look at Impact Wrestling, it's not as intimate as doing a podcast. They have loads of people that they have to pay. And it's nothing personal. But if they can't afford to pay their wrestlers will pick up and go somewhere else. So when does Impact Wrestling say, look, we love wrestling. We love this company. We love everybody that works here. But we can't just keep shitting out charges and, you know, insane deals. They don't even have Don West anymore. T-shirts, $2. Look, $3. They don't even have that anymore. I mean, you see on eBay, I don't know if you've ever noticed it. And sometimes I wanted to buy a few things and even give them out on the shows over here. And you go on their eBay, and what they'll do is they'll take a table and they'll break it up into 50 pieces and they'll have a whole bunch of people autograph it, which is cool, which is cool. I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. But then they'll put like a $125 price tag on it. And there's still used stuff from Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers on eBay. that they can't sell. In fact, you know what? Let's see. I know this is kind of unprofessional, but A, why not? It'll literally just take me 2 seconds. Maybe if it takes me longer, then I won't even do it. But I'm going to see if I could go on Impact Wrestling's eBay site right now and see, let's see, desktop catcher. It's not as difficult. You know, when, thank God, that's why I love, you know, having the rain over here because, ooh, there we go. All right. Okay, so I think we'll be able to pull it up. So I'm going to just do a search really quick. Impact Wrestling. Let's see. All right. We're on the screen. Now, the problem is we don't know which auction is actually theirs. There's 21,000, you know, auction items right now. So we'll try to find something. Let's see. You know what? Yeah. Let me just type in Kenny Omega with Impact Wrestling. Something should come up. Now, this cannot be theirs. This cannot be, yeah. Look at that, everybody. Somebody is auctioning off 5 thumbtacks right now, and they claim that it was used by Kenny Omega. How do you prove that? How do you prove that? All right, we'll find something. You know what? Let's put it by price. I don't want to spend too much time over here. Let's put over $75. Let's see what comes up. I don't see. Huh. Okay. Maybe here. This might be there. I'm trying to find their page. This might be their page. Yeah, here's their page. Okay, good. All right, we got lucky. So let's look at their store right now. They have 100 items up for sale. I'm going to try to zoom in on this. This is a little... Okay. I guess this is all right. All right, so we're zooming in a little bit. Now, you got turnbuckles, $130. It's not even signed. We're going down. I'm trying to find the... Look, this was a Christmas card. This is a Christmas card signed by all the Knockouts. And they had 4 of them, and they still have 2. They can't even sell them. When they first were sold, I think there were more. Oh, I can't log in. I don't have my login here, but I think they were $200 before, $250. Now they got it down to $1, $100. All right, we scroll down a little bit further. Here, look, here's another holiday card. But I want to find the Bullet Club stuff. Maybe they ended up selling it. But you look at these prices. I mean, some of this is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, the photos I could see. Is this going down? Okay, we got... I mean, look, honestly, I like Rosemary. But really, who is going to spend $150 for this? I mean, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad to see. But I'm a little surprised. They don't have much as far as the in-ring stuff. See, now these, I believe, are unsigned. These are unsigned. But really, that's where they're trying to make their money right now. eBay. I know. Look, I don't want to criticize Fala Ba or anything like that, but that's really where they're trying to make the money. I mean, the next time they have a pay-per-view and you see like a garbage can used, go on eBay the next day and there'll be like 35 pieces of the garbage can autographed. And I'm not saying it's not a cool item to have, but when you see when they first throw them out there, you know, who the hell's going to pay $100 for a little piece of metal signed by someone that can't even get 100,000 viewers? Yeah, I don't know what their subscription numbers are, but AEW will outlast Impact Wrestling. Absolutely. You know, I was having a conversation the other day with Mish and with somebody else a little bit earlier. You know, when you realize the amount of money that the cons have. All right. Let's, what was it, 14 billion, 15 billion, whatever it is. You know, there's some websites that claim that AEW is losing $100 million a year. I personally don't know where they get that number. I don't believe it's that high. Could it be 20, 30, 40 million? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you realize that Revolution was their first gate of $1 million, when you add up how much it costs to actually get the venue and all the expenses involved and all the pay you got to give the wrestlers and all everything else that you, I mean, they've been losing money. But let's just say Tony Khan is losing $50 million a year. 50, all right? That's a lot. I mean, that's beyond WCW territory on average, but $50 million. If the guy is worth $10 billion, if he lost $50 million a year, he could go 20 years of losing $50 million a year, and it would only drop his bankroll by 10%. Now, do I think AEW is going to lose that kind of money every year? No. It may take AEW 5 to 10 years before they start getting a profit. Because even though they got that big TV deal with Time Warner, Warner Media, you know, when you realize how much money they paid out for salaries and everything else, that money is long gone. But even if he lost $50 million, just think, 20 years. You know, the Monday Night Wars technically started, I think, for most people, they feel it started in 1996. I think 1996 truly was where the Monday Night Wars became hardcore. If you want to go 1995, we could go 1995. The Monday Night Wars were over in 2001. That was only 6 years. Now, I'm not saying that AEW is having a Monday Night War with WWE. Of course they're not. But, you know, that was a 6 year war. Tony Khan could lose $50 million a year for 20 years and it'd do almost nothing to his bank book. Now, and just keep in mind, obviously he could lose money in other ventures. He could gain money in other ventures. You know, you lose a lot of money, you write it off on your taxes. So I don't think AEW is going anywhere. I truly think AEW would likely outlast Impact Wrestling. I really do believe that. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe if Impact Wrestling one day shuts their doors, will Tony Khan buy Impact Wrestling? Don't discount it, my brothers, because when you think about Impact Wrestling's lineage, which does go 20 years, almost the same time as Ring of Honor, but Impact Wrestling had bigger numbers, bigger players, bigger stories, bigger events, bigger crowds, bigger memories. You know, that is something. But keep in mind, you know, we've heard the rumored price that Tony Khan paid for Ring of Honor. Even with Impact Wrestling only doing 100,000 viewers right now, Impact Wrestling's got to be worth more, especially for the library. Oh my God. Even if he paid $20 million for Ring of Honor, you look at what Impact Wrestling has as far as their library, oh Jesus. Theirs would have to be worth 3-4 times as much, I would think. 2-3 at least. So what else you all want to talk about tonight? Oh, you know, there is two other things I wanted to share really quickly. First of all, yesterday we were talking about Rock C signing the deal with WWE. We knew that she was signing it for a while. I didn't break news yesterday, but today it was actually made official. And this is your newest class of signings by WWE. Some of those faces may be recognizable. This weekend, I will go into each one. But, you know, nice class of names. I mean, when you look at it, does anybody really stand out to you as a, you know, like a huge, larger-than-life personality? Probably not. It looks like, you know, if you happen to stop inside some gymnasium somewhere, you know. But, hey, congrats to all of the participants who have now signed developmental with WWE, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. No, they're going to give her a regular name. They're not going to do a hybrid of Rock. There's only one character in WWE that would reference Rock anywhere, and that's The Rock. They'll just give her a regular name. It might be like Annie, Amy, Lily. No, Lily sounds like a dog. Lily, Lily. Who's the worst celebrity to wrestle? The J-Wow from Jersey Shore. Jay Leno. Jay Leno was not bad. Problem is, you look at that chin and that face and that body. You know, if you walked into a Starbucks back in 1998 and you took a cup of coffee and you dumped it over Jay Leno's head, you honestly think that guy would punch you out? I think he would start... I think he would start doing this.
Oh, Bobby, oh, it's a joke.
Oh, my God. For me, that is my fantasy. For all of these, you see all the crap going down today on Twitter amongst various accounts. I mean, some of them I'm friends with, and I feel terrible. And honestly, I've decided to sit out of it. But this, what's happening is that people are eating themselves within. And to me, that is the ultimate fantasy. For all of these people that talk shit on social media, people that talk shit behind my back, people that talk shit behind your back, that video I just showed you is what happens when a keyboard warrior finally is met face to face. You look at that kid with the white T-shirt, you know, and you just picture that that is some asshole on Twitter. And finally, you get to confront the person in person. And look how that person reacts. One more time. One more time. What a pussy. What a pussy. The world is filled with pussies, man. Remember 15 years ago I said the pussification of America? They're all now on social media. So, oh, man. But J-Wow, Snooki did acrobatics. Snooki was not that bad. I didn't like Snooki in Mania. She was not bad. She was very well liked by the roster. But you got to go to J-Wow in TNA. You know what was funny? About a month and a half ago, I kid you not, chat room, could someone just do a quick Google search and search who J-Wow is dating in AEW? They're engaged. I can't remember his name, but I'll tell you what's funny. About a month and a half ago, I get emailed from an agency that if I would share to everyone that J-Wow's fiance wrestled on AEW Dark, and J-Wow and Snooki were in attendance, and they asked if I would, you know, post it and if I wanted to speak to him about, you know, the experiences and that. And I just deleted it. Zach Clayton, there you go. Thank you, V. Zach Clayton. I still have it, you know, in my deleted folder. But, like, some talent agency is, like, telling me, like, oh, Zach Clayton wrestled on AEW Dark and his fiance J-Wow was in attendance. I'm like, the fuck do I care? You honestly think that the people that tune into my stuff is interested that J-Wow's fiance wrestled in AEW Dark. People want to forget about J-Wow. So, yeah, if you've never seen J-Wow's match, and wasn't it against future WWE Hall of Famer, Queen Charmel? That is worse than the Jackie Gator match. I would love to stream it here, but I don't want to get any copyright strikes. People are still loving that video. Why not? He's like, oh God, oh God. Cried like a little bitch. A little bit. What was, no, was it J-Wow versus Cookie? No. Wait, oh no, thank you. J-Wow versus Cookie was bad too. Jenna Maraska, my apologies. Eddie, thank you for correcting that for me. Jenna Maraska. J-Wow was just as bad. But Jenna Maraska, that is the ultimate, for me, worst match. The Jackie Gator match was horrible too. And I've told this story before. You know, for anybody that isn't aware of it, you know, Daphne was in WWE Developmental for a short period of time. And they let her go. And they didn't have room for her. And Jackie Gator was one of the women WWE decided to keep. And they let Daphne go. And the night that the Jackie Gator match aired, the tag team match, I got a phone call from Daphne. And it was myself, Daphne. I don't know if Francine was on the phone too, but there was another woman on the phone. It might have been Penny Dreadful. And I think Slash. And Daphne's like, they released me for this? And we would just in amazement watching that Jackie Gator match. That was horrible. Jenna Maraska. Oh, God, Jenna Maraska. That was horrible. I don't know what Impact was thinking. You see, you know what amazes me about even Jenna Maraska's match? You know that they worked out, you know, in advance. You know that they prepared this for a while. You would think that somebody, you know, one of the producers, one of the retired stars that was a trainer there, would have watched her in the ring trying to do this stuff and like, that's it. No, we can't do this. We can't, we got to do a swerve. We got to do a swerve somewhere. And they went with it anyway. I don't know what they would, they deserved to have that awful shit on TV. It was awful. Absolutely. It makes, I'm trying to think who really sucks in the ring right now. I don't know, you know, like who really sucks in the ring right now? It's like you could come up with anybody, not somebody you don't like, but somebody who truly sucks in the ring right now, and you, they would make that person look like Kurt Angle. Charmel was not a wrestler. That's the thing, Ram. Charmel was not a wrestler, and Impact asked her to wrestle. She tried, but she herself has admitted that, you know, she is not a wrestler and she didn't want to do it, but she did for the, you know, for the company, and unfortunately it did not work out well. Dana Brooke is better than what she was. She's better. I mean, but you know, you know what Dana Brooke, with all due respect, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but I think we all agree that if Dana Brooke gets released, Dana Brooke's future, she'll probably have like a nutritional company or a workout website with videos, and that's her future. I don't see, you know, like, it's Wednesday night. You know what that means? Oh, this is Dana Brooke. It's like Jim Ross meets Don West. Slammernagger. Dana Brooke, I do not see her wrestling future being all that. Look, you see the 200 people that WWE has let go in the last 2+ years. There's probably about 10 that have done better. Now, I'm not talking about people who decided to leave on their own. I'm talking about people that WWE fired. maybe 10 out of that 200 have gone on and really ended up in a better position. And they worked. They didn't just sit on their ass. They're in a better position. Almost everyone out there, my God, you look at some of them, you haven't heard anything with some of them. And it's sad. It's sad. Yeah, I know when Jim Ross says, it's Adam Cole, bye-bye. He's like intentionally trying. I like Jim Ross, man. He's obviously way past his prime, but he still is a familiar voice, and that's soothing. And, of course, he's going to flub once in a while, and he may lose his train of thought. You know, it is what it is. You know, if you have anybody that you love, even on a personal level or a relative who is good at something and they're getting much older and they might slip up a little bit and you let it go because, you know, you realize, hey, you get older, it happens. You know, nobody is, you know, superhuman. Yes, I did hear about the Mike Tyson gummy, the CBDs, the edibles. I think that's what people usually call it, edibles. For those that don't know, you know, I can't believe it's already been 25 years since Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear. Mike Tyson was one of my favorites growing up. Look, that is right next to the Piper. That is Mike Tyson over there. I don't know if you could see it. There you go, look. That's Mike Tyson over there. You know, it just sucks with the bad lighting. See, now I screwed up my lighting a little bit. But I was always a huge Mike Tyson fan. And, I'm always asked, do I think he really raped that person? I honestly don't know. But, he is getting into the edibles business, and he's going to sell edibles that are in the shape of an ear with a bite in it. So I don't know how Evander Holyfield feels about it. It would be pretty funny if he is a partner in the project. I haven't heard anything about Evander being involved with this. But, Mike Tyson is going to sell edibles in the shape of, it's got to be a regular ear. It can't, like, mimic Evander because then he probably could try to sue for some way. And that looks like my ear. I don't know if I would buy them. I tried CBD oil for a little while. And honestly, you know, I'm in tremendous pain. And in fact, you know, I'll tell you another reason why I also thought, you know, no reason why we can't start some of the shows a little bit earlier in the future. You know, yesterday we had Dynamite. And, you know, Wednesday night shows for me are a little rough because it's the middle of the week. You get crunch time for later in the week. And not everybody tunes in to NXT or AEW. I mean, it's like one third of normal. So to go balls out for both shows is kind of tough. Because, you know, if you're an NXT fan, you probably watched it. Why would you just want to hear me recap it? Like, I'd rather talk about things that I like, disliked, or might be a problem or suck, or could be better or praise. That's why I try to do it AEW also. But soon as I finished the show yesterday, while the audio was converting and uploading, I passed out. So I was zonked out by 12:30 in the morning. I didn't even hear my alarm go off today. I woke up at 8:30 this morning. Usually I'm in my office by 8:30. I woke up. I was like, holy shit, I got 8 hours worth of sleep. And I felt like $1 billion. And I realized now getting old, you know, sleep is probably a little more valuable than what it was before. But so now I lost my freaking train of thought. But what was I going to there was a reason why I brought that up, too. What was I bringing up, right? But we talked about the Mike Tyson. We talked about, I'm trying to remember, what the hell was my point out of all of this? See, I'm talking about sleep and I lost my train of thought. Shit, I can't even remember what the hell it was. There was something else I was trying to bring up too for a point. I can't remember. I don't think it had to do with Mike Tyson though. Oh, the CBD oil. Thank you, Vich. CBD. I'm in a lot of pain. And I still take pain medication. I don't take it as much because I'm always afraid of what could happen with my kidneys. You know, we don't need to rehash that story. But so I deal with it. I have the spinal stimulator inside me. I try other ways to deal with pain. But I tried for a little while CBD oil. And I tried edibles. I tried vaping. I've tried even the capsules. And one thing that I have realized is that CBD oil sucks if you take that ingredient out that gives you that little bit of a buzz. You know what I mean? You know, it's legal because they take away that, you know, that ingredient as far as like even like with marijuana. You know, they take away that ingredient that gives you that high. Now, I don't like marijuana. I can't smoke marijuana. I've tried a few times in my lifetime and it, you know, either gives me a headache or it gives me incredible munchies. In fact, some of you may remember this story from long ago. One night we did an episode of the Minority Report in like 2004, I think it was. It was after XPW, but I was still doing the indie managing. And that's when I was introduced to Chocolate Thai. Chocolate Thai is a marijuana that I guess has like a chocolate taste to it. I honestly never recall a chocolate taste. Might have been like a hazelnut taste in anything, or cacao, which is I guess a little chocolate. But I remember bringing some to XPW. And I don't want to name the wrestler, but I'll never forget sleeping in my hotel room and I hear bang, 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 bang. I'm like, fuck. I get up, it's like 6:30 in the morning and it's a particular wrestler who actually is involved in a promotion you see on TV. And he's got his bag for the airport. He's like, oh, I forgot to give you back your pipe. I was like, oh, thank you, thank you. So one Monday night, I was in a lot of pain and we were doing a Minority Report. So I decided to light up. I decided to smoke some Chocolate Thai while doing the show. And around 3:30 in the morning, I got hungry. And I got out of bed and I started craving pasta gulagia, linguine with garlic and olive oil. At 3:30 in the morning, I'm in my kitchen boiling pasta, frying up garlic, olive oil, salt and pepper, grated cheese. And like, I think I was done by like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm watching TV, eating this giant plate of linguine with garlic and olive oil. And I loved it until I couldn't fall back asleep and I was a zombie all day long. I get incredible, incredible munchies from smoking weed. So the CBD, honestly, it really didn't do. You know what's funny? I still have CBD capsules inside from a couple of years ago. I'm sure I wouldn't get in trouble if I showed you the bottle on the screen. Maybe next week. But they're like big blue. They look like giant blue capsules. CBD. And it's supposed to help you sleep. It's supposed to help you this. To me, it didn't really do much of anything. It's not that I need that high feeling, but you know that, you know, like I always felt CBD would mellow you out, make you relaxed. Life is good. You feel good. Everything is good. Even, you know, a 400 pound fatty would look good. I didn't feel that way taking CBD. I've never tried Blue Chew. I've been offered to sell Blue Chew. I've been offered to sell a lot of merchandising, as they said in Spaceballs, merchandising, Spaceballs, the lunchbox, Spaceballs, the toilet tissue. I haven't committed yet, but a little bit lazy probably. But some of the items that everybody sells, I hear good things about it. I've actually heard people say that Blue Chew's pretty good. That magic spoon that everybody's selling right now, that shit's good too. You should, Solomon has a coupon code. If you go to his page, get some for a discount. It's pretty good. I know, I would buy a Spaceballs lunchbox too. What if Sting was the third man of the NWO? I don't think it would have been as good. It would not have been, it would not, nowhere near been as good. And that's not a knock on Sting, but, you know, the whole suspension of disbelief was that Hall and Nash were outsiders. Yes, we knew they weren't working for WWF anymore, but they were still outsiders trying to take control of WCW. So, yes, people could quit one company and try to take over another, but they're still viewed as outsiders because of where they came from. They came from the competition. And who knows? Remember when everybody used to say that WWE actually intentionally sent Vince Russo to WCW to put it out of business? That was a bullshit story that got legs back in 2001 and 2002. A lot of people still to this day truly believe that Vince Russo was intentionally sent to WCW to put it out of business. But Hogan, with his history being in the WWF, even though he was in WCW for a couple of years, you know, if his ultimate motive was, you know, everybody from up north is coming to WCW to try to shut it down and take it over, wouldn't have felt the same with Sting. Wouldn't have felt the same way. Any, not even close. It just wouldn't have made sense with Sting. You know, look, Sting is beloved because he is truly a good guy, and we have not ever heard any bullshit with him over the years, and especially that he is still doing it in some capacity at his age, and you will see him next week because the match that we talked about yesterday that was likely going to happen, I don't want to give away spoilers for Rampage because we're probably going to do a watch party Friday night, but it does set up a match for next week. So you will see Sting in action next week. But in all honesty, when people still to this day say, who's the biggest star, Sting or The Undertaker? And I don't want to say it's not close. It might be a little bit close, but to me, The Undertaker is, you know, it's not a doubt. Undertaker is easily the bigger star. You know, Sting is beloved even more now because he's still doing it a little bit. But over the years, Undertaker was the biggest star. I'm checking questions because we're going to start bringing this home soon. Believe it or not, we're almost at an hour already. Like I said, you know, the ultimate goal is to have all the shows an hour to an hour and a half at the most if we have some important stuff to talk about. But if you have any other questions, my top three commentators of all time, my top three, Gordon Solie, Jim Ross. Boy, I have to put Joey Styles in there. I know Joey Styles was on a much smaller platform, but there's not many commentators in my lifetime that could do a show all by themselves, and I'm entertained. He knew all the names of the moves. He was smooth. I can't believe Joey Styles has not done more in commentating over the last 10 years. It doesn't make sense. The guy is that freaking good and that dedicated. Bobby Heenan, I don't put as like a commentator. You see, if you're talking about like color, you know, because Bobby Heenan wasn't there talking about the moves. I'm talking about the lead commentators that did the play-by-play. When you talk about Heenan, now you're getting into a different category because you look at, like, Jesse Ventura. You look at Bobby Heenan. That's a difference. They didn't do play-by-play all that much. So I don't put Jesse and Bobby Heenan in the same category as the other guys because they were there to be the antagonist. So if you go that route, then I go Bobby Heenan, Jesse Ventura, and third person, boy, third person. That third is kind of rough when you think about it. The third person, boy, Jerry Lawler. Those would be my three. So, but I like to bake my own pizza. I have pizza tonight. I made my own keto pizza with almond flour. It's not like the regular, but, you know, you got to take what you can take. So Rob Bartlett is the worst of all time. I mean, I look back on it. You know what I'm going to do tonight? I got to go on YouTube tonight. For the last couple of days, I've been watching a lot of Scott Hall U-shoots. And the one thing that I really, really appreciate about Scott Hall, you look at him and he's got a presence. He looks strong. He looks healthy. Even when he had his demons at that time. But the guy had such a good mind and would start banging stuff out. And he had a sharp memory too. But I'm going to spend some time tonight on YouTube before I go to bed. And I'm going to see what some people in the business have said about Rob Bartlett from the past. Paul Heyman was good, but Paul Heyman was not on commentary enough. If he would have more years, I would have put Heyman as one of the best. But no, Heyman, top managers of all time, but not commentator. So I don't really have favorites as far as Japanese wrestlers go. You know, there's so many over the years, and I haven't been like really focused on one. When you say Japanese wrestlers, I like Stan Hansen more from Japan than anything else. You know, if you're talking about Japanese background, you know, it's hard. It's hard. You know, I grew up and I was a big fan of Inoki. Absolutely loved. I'm just drawing a blank right now. And she faced Medusa in WWF so many times. Not Bertha Faye. Crap. Drawing a blank. Yeah, you can't make me think back of 40 years of wrestling on spur at a moment to start coming up with names like that. I'll remember probably right after we finish the show. Shit, I can't remember her name right now. Bull Nakano. Thank you, Aris. Bull Nakano. I really enjoyed Bull Nakano's work, but you know, I never really focused much. As far as Mexico, favorite of all time is probably going to be Rey Mysterio. Just for the number of years that he's put in. You know, I've had moments where I've liked others more, but Mysterio is probably my favorite. So, let's start bringing this home. So, if you have any other quick questions, throw them up now. And then we will call it for a night. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Friday night, for everybody that is listening, I will be doing a SmackDown watch party. Starts 8 o'clock. If you are a Patreon or a YouTube channel member, you already have the link. Use the same link as last time. If you are not one of those from those locations and you want to be part of the watch party, either drop me a DM on Twitter at DonTonyD. Or drop me an email, dontony@dontony.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you a personal invite so you could be part of it. Remember, you're not required to have video. You're not required to have audio. It's a bonus, but there's text. And believe me, it blows away what you see on YouTube because we actually watch the wrestling. You do not have to put wrestling on your screen. We provide it. It blows away Discord. It's not even close. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm probably going to do a Rampage at 11:30 because some people have said, yeah, I don't care if it's 11:30. I'll do it. So, you know, I might be chilling in the bed. I'm not going to lie. I may use it from my iPhone. So you might see some iPhone bed video, but you only see my head anyway. So, and I'll be dressed. Worst WWE champion of all time. Worst WWE champion of all time. Boy, I can't even think of one. I can't even think of one. All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you one. And a lot of it's not his fault. Braun Strowman. Jinder Mahal was not as bad as you think. Just because you didn't feel that he should have been champion doesn't mean that he wasn't a good champion. Jinder Mahal was not as bad as you think. Braun Strowman, though, was the victim of COVID, and his was just very, very, you know, was not good. Jinder Mahal, you know, that Punjabi prison match that they did while he was champion. Remember when Kali made that one cameo? That night was probably the worst night in his title reign. But I don't blame you if you choose Jinder. I mean, I totally understand why some of you would pick Jinder. For me, though, I kind of put Strowman a little bit higher up. But again, I don't think a lot of it was his fault. So, James, I don't know what question you're talking about. Post it again. I'll be more than happy to answer it. Am I going to do another rapid fire episode? Yeah, I probably will. I probably will. That was funny on Patreon Tuesday. You know, I wasn't doing it to be deceiving. But for those that don't know, on Tuesday morning, I posted a thread on Patreon. And the title said, Watch Party, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Patreon VIP podcast, 10 to 11 p.m. So I figured based on the title, everybody would know that what I'm writing has to do with both shows. So in the paragraph, I plugged the watch party. And then at the end, I said, we're also going to do a rapid fire episode today. So for everybody, not just VIP, everybody, post your rapid fire. Because so many people are not interested in the watch party, they didn't bother looking at the article. And then they got mad when it came time to do the show and there was almost no rapid fire. It's not my fault you didn't click on the link, you know, so we'll do a rapid fire again in 2 weeks. But yeah, well, next week when we do this episode again, it's going to be a mixture of questions sent in advance and live. You know, tonight actually worked out a lot better than I expected, but there's a lot of your fellow channel members that can't make it live and want to be part of the show. So next week, we're going to have a mixture of both. But I think next week, we're going to start at 9:05. This way, even if we go 90 minutes, we'll be done by 10:30. I could get it up by 11. That didn't sound right, but I get it online by 11. And then I could crash by 12. You know, Kev Castle does his Patreon show on Thursdays, and, you know, I have to be the one to edit, run codec, upload it. I have to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And unfortunately, he sends me his file at like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm already asleep. So it's like, I ain't doing that shit until 8 o'clock the next morning. And then even that, I got to rush to get to work. So, you know, ending a little bit earlier, I think would be best for all of us. And look, if you can't make it that hour earlier, you'll be able to send in questions beforehand. So, what do I see likely happening first? The Street Profits turning heel, Randy turning on Riddle, Randy calling Riddle his friend. Well, some people still remember when I said that Riddle, don't ever count out Riddle turning on Randy. I don't see it happening. Riddle is too liked by the fans. It'd be stupid to turn Riddle heel. But the way this seems to be coming off on TV, you know, Randy didn't want to accept the challenge of the Street Profits at Mania. And Riddle kind of like changed things around. And I think Randy agreeing to things or going along with it because of Riddle will backfire more than once. And I think Randy Orton will get more and more frustrated. We have to pay close attention for the next 2 weeks, the frustration value by Randy Orton. If you see any sign of frustration, if the Street Profits win the belts, I think that might be the precise moment where Randy turns on Riddle. Maybe it happens the night after Mania. That would be a nice swerve. Do it the night after Mania. So if you're asking me which would come first, see, the Street Profits would have to remain babyface. Because if you split up RK-Bro, that's a tag team babyface. Babyface tag team, that's no longer a team. So I don't think you really should. You tease Street Profits a little bit. But, you know, if you really think about it, I would go with Randy turning on Riddle first. The Street Profits might be booed a little bit more, even at Mania. That doesn't mean that they heal, though. Yeah, I'm enjoying the watch parties. You know, they're affiliated with Blue Wire. You know, Blue Wire signed me earlier this year, and it's freaking awesome. I mean, you realize that the only other wrestling show they added since then was JD from New York. They don't want to fill up their channel with just wrestling shows. See, they prefer quality over quantity. I think there's only 8 wrestling shows on their network, and I feel like I'm around royalty. Even if you don't like some of those other shows, they're huge. So that worked out good. And they see the on the audio side. So that's why I always, you know, I don't know how I could better describe it on YouTube, but, you know, technically I'm an audio podcaster who happens to do video. And I always wanted to do video, so when we talk about Impact Wrestling's eBay site, I could put it on video, you could look at it. When we talk about asshole instigators, instead of me just talking about it, I could go and do this. Look, I don't like to see any kid getting beat down. But, you know, there's a lot of people that do deserve it. You know, little scare. And you know that punk probably did it again later on that day. But, you know, so the audio side is just as important as the video side. The video side, I want to just have a little extension of me. And again, I really got sick and tired of, you know, over the years, people painting a picture about me that just was not true. You know, they hear, just because you hear the attitude or hear some, you know, going again. No, I want the people to see my face. And I wanted to be a little animated. And I wanted a challenge. I wanted to branch out. Just felt like, you know, stuck in the mud. You know, I mean, just think about it. Think about this. A little more than two years ago, I made up a banner called the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show Hour. I think that's what it was. Or it was the DTKC Show Hour. And I was hell-bent on reducing the show on Monday to an hour because it just wasn't fun. I felt like, you know, like all opportunities that were being made available were just passing up. I just didn't have, you know, the excitement or the challenge to increase. Like, it just felt like, all right, show up Monday after Raw. Here's the ritual since 2006. You know, Monday's over, Raw is off the air, turn the thing on, record, codec, run this, level out audio, upload it, post the audio, go back to sleep, wait a week, do it again. And it just felt like repetition. it didn't feel like a challenge anymore. And it just felt like, how am I building? Like, you always want to be better and make things better. And even some of the discussions were not as strong as they used to be. And look, I'm not criticizing those shows. All I'm saying is that it got to the point where I was going to just do 1 hour a week. That was it. And, you know, look where it is now. Monday, we have Breakfast Soup Raw. Tuesday, we have Breakfast Soup VI Patreon. Wednesdays, we have Wednesday Night Dynamite. Thursdays, we have Q&A and, you know, channel member live show for the channel members. Friday, we have two watch parties. Saturday, we have the Don Tony Show, which is now the flagship show. And Sunday is the sit-down. We're not even including pay-per-views. And Tuesday is a watch party. So you think about it, I mean, every day of the week there's something going on now. And yes, I'm doing it to try to pay off a wedding. Once I get married, I don't plan on stopping. But I do plan on tweaking things a little bit here and there. You know, to just... And that's why I really need to chop down the show lengths a little bit. Because, again, you go 2.5 hours, you do that 3 times a week, you're asking people to tune into 7.5 hours worth of content. Now, if you do 60 to 90 minute shows a week, now you do 5 shows, and that's only 5 to 7.5. Same amount of time, but now instead of 3, you do 5. And it stretches it out a little bit. So that's really where it's starting to go. And people seem to enjoy it. But the watch parties have been fun. You know, they approached me about doing it. And they're like, hey, you want to do NXT? I'm like, sure. I'm waiting for them to land the deal with Peacock. When they land the deal with Peacock, expect the chat room to be in the thousands. And I hope they can handle it. Because... you won't even have to be a subscriber on Peacock to watch the, I still call it pay-per-views, to watch the pay-per-views. By the way, let me give you some news before we go off the air. And this goes out to everybody that lives overseas. Now, I'm going to credit Mark Middleton for this. And I'm going to read you what he wrote word for word. This is something that my international friends, I think, will appreciate quite a bit if you're not aware of this already. A WWE special event has been rumored for the United Kingdom for years now, and there was talk in the fall of 2021 about possibly holding SummerSlam in Cardiff, Wales. But there was also talk of WWE potentially running other UK venues in September. This seemed to be confirmed when WWE announced a premium live event for Sunday, September 4th, with a location to be announced later. In an update, WrestleVotes now reports that WWE has plans to hold their UK premium live event on Saturday, September 3rd, at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff. This date of Saturday, September 3rd is interesting because the WWE schedule currently has Sunday, September 4th reserved with the location and name to be announced later. But it looks like plans have changed and they're going with Saturday instead. This will be Labor Day weekend in the United States. Now, it just freaking hit me. I'm getting married the day before. So your first pay-per-view premium live event in the UK could very well be that Saturday. Wait a minute. No, it's Saturday, September 3rd. So if they have it Saturday, September 3rd, I'm getting married on that day. So while everybody is watching the pay-per-view, I will be off the market. I just realized that. Wow. So September 3rd is going to have a new meaning for everybody. So now if I simulcast my wedding live online, I'm not doing that, by the way. Somebody gave me that idea. about 6 months ago. And I'm not going to lie to you. I thought about it. I said, you know what? That would be pretty fucking cool. If I put on a stream, I don't think I would charge people for it, but I just simulcasted my reception onto YouTube. And then once I threw it up to my fiance, she's like, are you fucking nuts? Then I started asking my friends, and you know what they said? Are you fucking nuts? And then I told my mother, you know what she said? Are you fucking nuts? So yeah, I can't. I could show some video after. I could show little clips here and there. But yeah, September 3rd, man, I'm probably going to, and that might be SummerSlam. No, it's not SummerSlam. SummerSlam is Saturday, July 30th in Tennessee. That's right. So we will know, but yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. I'm happy that some of you, I'm still saying that if WWE extends the deal with Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia will have a bigger event down the line in the next 2 years. I'm not saying WrestleMania, but I think you might see one of the other pay-per-views happen in Saudi Arabia. I'm not saying Royal Rumble. I'm not trying to say anybody, but I think one of the bigger pay-per-views might actually end up in Saudi Arabia. I could see that happening. So, all right, we're at 77 minutes. I'm going to head out of here. Last question for the night. Two questions for the night. I talked about this yesterday with Jericho's promo. Everything that Jericho said in his promo was pretty much true stories. Donating money for Daniel Garcia's recovery was true. It was completely legit. You could even still see the GoFundMe page when the money was raised. Jericho has this incredible knack of making anything make sense. Any topic, he seems to make sense out of it. And Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler splitting up, I see that happening. I see that happening sooner than later. I don't know how long Robert Roode still has in WWE. I wish they would use him a little bit more, but that split will be coming. I don't know if it'll come as quick as Stand and Deliver, but that split will be coming soon. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. So, once again, I thank you, as always, for joining me here. Thank you for your support. Next week, we'll be here live at 9:05 instead of 10:05 p.m. And I promise for all of you out there who are not able to make the show live, I will put a thread a day before, 24 hours in advance, I think is enough time. I'll post a thread in the community section just for you. And anybody that cannot make it live, you post your questions there, and I'll give everybody like a day to post it. This way I could pull the questions in advance, prepare as necessary, and then next Thursday we will do a combination of everybody live and questions sent in advance. And everybody live could react on those questions as well. So we'll have a good show next week. And if you're around tomorrow night, you're more than welcome to be part of the watch party. That goes out to everyone out there. The SmackDown watch party starts at 8 o'clock. And if you're going to contact me for an invite, don't wait till 10 minutes before SmackDown starts. Try to send me the invite by an hour before the show starts, because I actually do have to prepare over here and to start pulling emails and DMs and stuff. You know, don't wait till the last minute, because I felt bad last Friday. There was like six people who literally sent me DMs while the watch party was going on. I didn't see them until after the show. So, you know, you have plenty of time. It takes literally 30 seconds to send me an email or a DM that says, DT, I'd like an invite. And just understand, too, there is a limited amount of seats. There's about six of you out there that joined a week and a half ago and have not been part of any of the watch parties yet. If you're not in any of them by next week, and a seat needs to be filled. You know, anybody that hasn't taken part in them. And again, you're not required to have video or audio, but if you're not going to show up at all, that seat has to be given to somebody else. So, and what's cool about it is once you have your seat, you don't have to sign up every week. Just go to the same link that you have already and just log in. It's always going to be the same location. So if you already signed up, you don't have to do anything but show up. So if I don't see you all on Friday, have a good Friday night. Stay safe. And I will be back here Saturday night for the Don Tony Show. Yes, we will talk about Bischoff's comments about AEW and creative, and I have a few things to say about that. Yes, we will talk about Tony Storm's OnlyFans account. I do have some info there. Yes, we will talk about Control the Narrative. I did see their rules, and I have a few things to say about what they're going to be doing. And we have a few other pretty cool things to talk about. So it's going to be a fun show. So much love, everybody. Have a great night. All the best, and I'll catch you all again soon. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the host, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.